Show me today.
You're listening to Show Me Today, the voice of Missouri, and we're talking to veterinarians, scientists, pathologists. Your titles are immense, and you're doing good work in veterinary research. I want to let Dr. Raghavan brag on you a little bit because he's your mentor and you are colleagues. But this find is a significant find, right? And tell us, you know, in this whole movement of ticks, we are seeing all kinds of tick-borne diseases. What is this telling us in the big picture? And yes, do brag on Dr. Arati too.
Oh yeah, of course. The tick scenario or the tick scene in the United States and generally speaking, North America is getting worse by the day. We have in the past a couple of decades have seen an enormous increase in the number of ticks you would come across, and then the number of different. Of course, the new Asian longhorn tick is a newly invading tick species that is a problem in its own. But we also have other problems in the country with increased amount of ticks during the season. The ticks are staying active for prolonged periods of time. Ticks used to be showing up later in the season and then go into hibernation sooner, but now they're expanding the time window. So the chances of somebody getting infected by tick-borne diseases is increasing. There is also an increase in the number of different pathogens that they seem to be transmitting. So we had Hartland virus syndrome and then Bourbon virus syndrome that both happened within the last 10 years in our region, in Missouri, in Kansas. So all of this points out to the fact that there is something going on in the climate. And as the temperatures keep increasing, and as a result of that, and then as the cascading effect of that, we are actually making it even more possible for the ticks to do whatever they do, unfortunately. Definitely, the invasion of Asian longhorn tick is a problem because it, in its native range, it is known to transmit a wide variety of different diseases, even though it is currently not known to transmit a number of those in this country at the moment.
How had Dr. Irardi's find resonated throughout veterinary medicine in the Midwest? This find, tell me how it really got heard and how important it is.
Well, she's already working on a very important problem that as a land-grant university, University of Missouri is always looking out for, farmers and, what is important for them. And the ticks already caused significant damage to cattle production in the state and throughout the country. And her project is mainly looking at bovine anaplasmosis, which to some extent, the economic cost of the disease is somewhat debatable, but definitely the losses are in several millions of dollars each year to cattle producers. So when she found the Asian longhorn tick, we were kind of looking at each other and go, oh my God, we don't want another tick that is going to be causing more damage to the cattle producers. So it's a very significant finding.
What can either of you say to assuage any of the producers, any of the farmers or anything right now? And those of us who have to be careful for tick-borne diseases as humans, you said climate is driving part of this, of course. Is there anything we can do at this point? Is there research to be done in the way of an antidote or things like that?
Vaccines are not available, unfortunately, to treat many of the tick-borne diseases, or most of them, really. And that goes to bovine anaplasmosis and also tularemiasis. There are a number of things we can do. We can be vigilant. Herd health is important. When we are importing new cattle into the farm, we have to be making sure that they are probably properly quarantined and that sort of thing. And as far as humans protecting themselves from ticks, common sense practices, if you're going out and if you're spending time in the woods, when you come home, check yourself, make yourself, use sprays that can keep ticks from crawling on you, and a number of different things that the CDC recommends that we should be following. Most of it is really preventive type thing that'll prevent some potentially deadly diseases. So.
Dr. Ram Raghavan from University of Missouri Veterinary Science Research and Department. And I'll leave this to Dr. Arati. Anything else you'd like us to know about what you're working on here and, you know, this research that MU is so involved in?
If I can expand one point briefly on our previous question about what we can do, I know there was mention of quarantining new animals, and that's always a great idea from a herd health perspective. That said, if someone were to find, for example, one of these ticks, that does not necessarily mean that it came in on a cow. We know that these ticks are not picky about the hosts that they choose to feed on. We know that they can feed on wildlife, even in some cases on migratory birds. So I did just want to add that clarification that these ticks don't have to arrive on cattle. They can arrive simply on wildlife.
Thank you for sharing that with us. And I found a Lone Star tick on me one time in a truck stop in Iowa. So I had not even been hiking. So you can imagine where things come from and what they're, you know, who knows how they got there, right? So it's those are tiny little things, but they're very pervasive, invasive, and powerful, right? These ticks have a lot of power, pack a lot of punch, don't they?
They certainly do. And Rosalie is absolutely right. Ticks do tend to migrate mostly by human-assisted methods. So they can be either attached to cattle. Cattle gets moved around the country quite a bit. And they get dropped off in some new place and they can establish populations easily. The one particular concern, especially with the longhorn ticks, is that they can reproduce without the help of a male. So the females can lay thousands of eggs. And so that gives them an advantage over the other tick species that are naturally found in North America. And there is some concern as a result of that, they're going to be establishing in more and more places very quickly. And when they start interacting with some of the small mammals, which tend to have or harbor some of the human pathogens, then they may be at some point start transmitting human pathogens as well.
Dr. Arati, Dr. Rosalie Arati, and Dr. Ram Raghavan, thank you for your work and for discovering these things that are alarming but so important. And thank you for sharing all of that. And we're glad to help let Missourians know what you're doing and the work that you're doing. Thank you for your work. And thank you for being with us on Show Me Today, the Voice of Missouri.